Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 5 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Caught.
Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone.
Caught.
Touchdown.
You shall not.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report. The Falcon Report is sponsored by MD Anderson Cancer Center.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We are celebrating the Braves division title. We know that they are back in the playoffs, and they've got a chance to get to another World Series. More on that coming up in 20 minutes, but we've got to spend time with the coach. And that is Arthur Smith, who stops by Dukes and Bell every Wednesday, and we enjoy our conversation with Coach Smith. Coach, first and foremost, congratulations on another win. Damn, it felt good Sunday. I know you felt the crowd and the way things were going at Mercedes-Benz, so congratulations on the dub.
Thanks. Yeah, the crowd was awesome. Yeah, you could certainly feel the energy in there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, man, and when you got the ball going with the run game, I mean, I know that you want to have a powerful football team and physicality. I mean, you can't just coach it and you can't just draft. You got to have it. I mean, these guys just seem to have it, Coach. How proud are you how the running game took it over?
Yeah, it was a really good feeling as a coach and as a play caller. We were very efficient and, you know, ran a couple different schemes, hit them a couple different ways. And it was really fun to be a part of that and more importantly, to get the win as a team there at the end.
Coach, is that a feel? To run the ball 14 consecutive times? Have you ever done that in your career that you can remember? Or was it just the way the game was going? Because I'm guessing you script plays out to start the game, but then that changes as the flow of the game moves along. Have you ever done that before?
I did something similar a couple of years ago coming out of half down in Houston where we were running pretty efficiently like that. And I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but it wasn't 14, but it was something similar to that, and a lot of it was where the game was going, and as a give and take, you know, that's the part of the play calling. Like, you've got to be able to adjust and adapt to what not only maybe something that you guys aren't doing well or they're trying to take away and adapt. And so I felt that gave us the best chance then, and then the way we were running it, I mean, I had, you know, some other thoughts and some other plays that I would have picked the ball up, but it was kind of practical. Like, you're running that kind of clip, just keep going.
Right. It is, Coach, your first place Atlanta Falcons,
yeah.
Man. Arthur Smith, how about that? How about that? Here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Unfortunately, we do lose Cordero Patterson. Caleb Huntley's a great story, local kid who was just balling out. And Tyler Allgeier, we watched his film from BYU. So will you go with the hot hand, same thing, run it with both those guys and Avery by feel on Sunday?
Well, they'll all be up. And, you know, I mean, there's some of that. I mean, we'd like to be able to get them all involved. You know, I'm not going to sit here and give Tampa the strategy here, but they'll all be up and there's a plan. And then sometimes you got to adapt depending on how the game's going and certainly what schemes are working for you.
Coach Arthur Smith joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Coach, going into the offseason, I just want to take you back and then I want to get your thoughts on this. My biggest thing, or at least one of them, was we can develop this O-line. We got a bunch of young guys. They can be coached up. They can play better. And I wasn't willing to give up on some of the players that guys, you know, around the city and our listeners were talking about, oh, I don't know if he can play, this, that, and the other. Through 4 weeks, O-line has been really good. And I want to know what the reason is in your mind that they played so well as a group and why they've gotten better.
There are a lot of reasons. You know, first of all, credit to those guys, the way they work and the approach they have every day. And there's a lot of things that we changed when we got here, and you know, we tried to stress, and sometimes it's a slow, painful process. And certainly this team's a lot different than we, you know, different style of skill players than we had a year ago. That's for certain. But a lot of those guys are lying, and they're playing with a lot of confidence, and that's the truth. That's why you don't give up on guys too early. I mean, just look around the NBA and the last couple of MVPs. Those guys, maybe, you know, right early on, they had some little success here and there, and then a couple of years into it, they were pretty damn good. And certainly, you know, the youth are skilled spots, and it's kind of how I feel about Kyle and Drake and a lot of our young guys.
It is Arthur Smith was here on Dukes and Bell after the big win against Cleveland. Great atmosphere at Mercedes-Benz heading down to Tampa. They've had some issues stopping the run, so hopefully we'll keep the run rolling. The other question I had for you was the snap with Mariota. I mean, I know that, you know, he's a guy that he's made some big plays. We wouldn't be, you know, have the two wins without him, but he's also had some things that make you scratch your head. Is Dalvin got to do a better job of getting a better snap, or is it still about Marcus Mariota literally keeping his eye on the ball?
A lot of things. I mean, everybody's got to do a better job. You know, things that we look at, and I always start myself looking, what can I do better? And it's been something different every time. You know, it's not one certain scheme. You know, the one on Sunday, you know, they eventually just put 11 up there, and we had a look we liked, and you know, we got to hold on to the football there, because we had an opportunity to probably throw a pretty easy touchdown there, because of the look we got when it was damn near, you know, zero. And there were some other options on that play. But, again, we didn't handle it. And then we've had stuff with, you know, even under center. You know, there's been a mesh point issue, and it goes both ways. The guy's not experienced, maybe he clamps it, you know, whatever it is. So there's things we work on, ball security, stuff like that. But we all got to do a better job, starting with myself.
Coach, I'm just curious. Like when Marcus comes over, are you fussing at him? Or, I mean, how do you handle those situations? And then as you move forward this week, you talk about, you know, doing these things. Is that mean more snaps after practice? How does that work?
Well, it all works. And every player is different. And certain things, you know, as a coach, it's like when a guy drops a football. I mean, yeah, you can yell at him, don't drop the football. And it's kind of like,
duh.
You know, no blank.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And every player is a little bit different. And how you make it tick, we can hold everybody accountable. Certainly, there's things you've got to continue to work on. I mean, ball security, paramount, and we do a lot of different things and change up drills, and we'll keep working on it and look at everything we're doing and why it's happening, because that's ultimately what you got to do, is get to the bottom of it. Sometimes in the game, is it really worth, you know, going crazy on anybody, or are you just saying, hey, let's move on to the next play. We'll fix it tonight, tomorrow, but we got to go win this game. And that's kind of what you got to evaluate.
I know the Parcells says, your record says what you are. We're 2-2. Wait, we're tied for first. I mean, some would say we could be 3-1. Do you ever, and I know the answer, but I'll ask anyway, just because I'm a big, you know, I'm a Ritter guy. It's not a fantasy question, but would you ever put a package in for the guy to get him some reps, or is that just, you Marcus just gives you your best chance and that's not an option?
Well, I mean, there's nobody that's more popular in the history of football than the backup quarterback that nobody's seen play. And that's been true. That was true 60 years. I got an old coach tell me that, and it's still true today. Look, there's a lot of guys on our program that are developing that we feel really good about. You got to assess those things. And, you know, even going back to Tennessee, you know, we had a package with two quarterbacks, and Ryan and Marcus were there at the same time. I mean, we called play. You know, a quarterback run in the AFC Championship game. You know, sometimes they took the other quarterback out, sometimes you put them both in. We've got a lot of different packages, you know, with different players that have different skill sets. That's not something right now they're looking to do. Doesn't mean that it'll stay that way forever.
Sounds like, Coach, you're burning the midnight oils. I mean, you are – you know, I know you're exhausted from, you know, this is a grind, right? I mean, it doesn't stop. You win, great, we celebrate, we move on. But I got to ask you about what you're seeing in the Bucs and what is different between what we saw with them last year versus what we might see on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a lot of veteran players. They've won a lot of football games since this group's been there. Obviously, when Tom Brady went down there, a lot of experienced vets. Still really got a lot of really high-end players. But every year is a different story. You know, they have some attrition. That the staff changes. There's different players in there. Some guys aren't there anymore that were a big part of them. And then some young guys they've invested heavily in, the Vita Veas in the world, the Devin Whites. They got a good young secondary. So it's a very experienced team. They got a clear identity, and we expect to get their best shot on Sunday.
Is it a little more fun now? I mean, you feel like things you wanted to see happen are happening. The defense, they may give up some yards, but, man, they're bending, not breaking. They're forcing field goals. That's got to be obviously encouraging for you.
Yeah. Like I said, it's a constant work in progress. And if you ever think that you got it all figured out, you'll get humbled quick. And if you ever think that there's not something to work on, that's a pretty delusional level of arrogance. And you got to be okay with that. And that's why I enjoy the everyday and the mundane tasks that you need to do as a coach. You can't skip steps. And we're always looking here to improve and find any way we can to get better, because the best teams are the ones that are peaking towards late in the year. And you got to win enough or you're in the mix to get into the tournament. But the best teams are the ones that are peaking late in the year. And that's our charge.
Coach, we saw Caleb Huntley at camp. And I was like, okay, damn, he looks good.
Right.
And then, you know, personnel decisions are made. Did you feel like you would get this Caleb Huntley when he got his opportunity based on what you knew about him?
I did, and that's why we kept him around. Mm. And sometimes it happens earlier than you thought. We'll have an opportunity to get Damian back here, you know, relatively soon, and the same with CP. But, you know, that's why you coach – and you try to develop everybody that's on your roster. That's why we don't have this, you know, class tier system and thinking, hey, here's our depth chart. Looks real good, you know, after the draft, and we're all set. And it's not the way it plays out. And that's why you've got to continue to develop and coach, and we got to believe. No matter who's in there, the guys that are 48 guys are up, we got to believe in them, and they're expected to know what to do and to play well.
Pitts wasn't seen at practice today. Is that something anybody should be worried about?
I don't know what. That's a very subjective question. I don't know. I'm not somebody that really worries
right.
a lot.
Well, I'll tell you.
I'll
you know what?
Realistic.
You threw it at me. I'll tell you. Yeah, I got him on my fantasy team. No, I mean, just obviously Friday. If he's not there Friday, that's more of a concern. But I mean, just it was seen that he was, at least by some of the media, that he was not out there with the rest of the team.
Yeah, he didn't practice today, and it's transparent on the injury report. Kyle's a really tough guy, and it's something he's been dealing with, and. We got to make sure that he's healthy, so when he's out there, that he can play to his maximum potential and help us. And so everything we do is we take serious, the health and safety of our players, and ultimately how it affects the team. So if he's working with something, is it something I'm worried about? No, I'm not worried about it. I'm concerned about all our players and making sure that they need to get healthy with. That's what we're here to do. And but it's nothing that I'm going to be worried, to use your word, about long term.
What's your concern for Sunday, Coach?
Well, we got to go down there and we got to execute, because when you're playing a veteran team like this, you don't want to get yourself into a hole against Tom Brady, and especially down there on the road. So we got to be clean. We got to execute from the jump. We know we're going to get their best shot coming off that Sunday night game, and that's a prideful group, and it's a big division game. We're both sitting there 2-2, and it's early in the year. But this is a great opportunity for us, and we're excited about it.
Yeah,
Coach.
I don't want to get you hype. I don't know if I have to, but it's a big game. I mean, seriously, like you're looking at the standings, and you're like, holy crap, we're 2-2. Here are the Bucks, Coach. Nobody's running away with this division. Mike and I have been talking about it. Like, I know you're not maybe paying attention to all this stuff. You're focused on our team, but Carolina had looked great. We saw the Saints. Hell, we should have beat them. I'm just saying, this is a big game Sunday.
It is. And then that's when you win, and you earn more opportunities to play in bigger games as the season goes on, because they're all important. But certainly when you're playing in your division and you got an opportunity and you're sitting here 2-2, will it make or break the season? No, but it's a hell of an opportunity for us.
Well, it was a great vibe as a fan sitting in the stands. Yeah. It was, especially when you got things cooking with the run game, man. It really was electric. We have not seen that in that building in many, many years.
If your ears are burning, that's me going, run the ball, coach!
It was a lot of fun.
Well, hey, I listen to you. So
I know. I'm like, Art, run it, Art. All right, Coach. Hey, good luck Sunday, and we're looking forward to our team showing up. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much.
Awesome. I really appreciate y'all having me on.
As always. Coach. All right, man. And listen, I don't know about you. We've been around the guy a little bit now. He's putting in hours. He sounds a little bit exhausted, Mike. He's coming on today, and it's like, but hey, we need to find a way, man. I got friends texting me going, is this Brady thing off the field going to affect him Sunday?
Well, I mean, if you don't get Tom Brady off the spot, he's going to carve you up. I mean, that's the thing. So, Ebba Cady was showing out. We've already talked about the job that Grady does each week. This would be a great week to put Tommy in some pain, man. He's already jammed up at practice.
Hey, Mets fans, we own the East. It's Dukes and Bell.
Of Johnson. This update is driven by Kia. It is driven by movement that inspires. The Falcons are a few days away from playing Tampa for sole possession of first place in the NFC South. With a few former players on the opposing side, head coach Arthur Smith isn't concerned there will be any game plan advantages for the Bucs.
We've changed so much. No different than, Josh Rosen thinking he could figure it out because he was here last year and he's on Cleveland's practice squad. A lot of change.
The Braves are NL East division champions for a fifth straight season after last night's 2-1 win over Miami. Jake Odorizzi pitching in his biggest start for Atlanta so far through five strong innings, striking out seven while giving up just one earned run. Atlanta now avoids the wild card round and will host either the Phillies or Cardinals in a five-game series that begins next Tuesday. The Braves are finishing out the regular season in Miami today, where it's currently tied in the fourth inning. Yankee star Aaron Judge finally hit home run number 62 last night, breaking the all-time American League record held by Roger Maris. Judge is now seventh on the all-time home runs list in a season. Keeping you up to date on Atlanta sports when it happens, I'm Caleb Johnson from the Kia Studios on your home of Sunday's Falcons versus Bucks game. Kickoff at 1, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Oh, how can you not feel great about what you saw last night? It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up in less than 20 minutes, Alex Anthopoulos, Braves general manager. And there is a lot going on, guys. We're going to talk about, you know, what we saw last night with him. We'll also talk about the future as far as what this playoff may look like, but also the future of guys like Dansby Swanson and an injury update as well. So stay right there. It's on the way as he joined us a little bit earlier today on the show. Mike, 100 wins, first time since 2003, okay? We go on a historic run to catch the Mets. We played over 700 balls since June 1st, 78-33. It's unbelievable. And I don't want to compare. I know it's human nature to do this, to say, oh, well, but this is one of the greatest runs we've ever seen.
I mean, you won last year by making the right moves at the trade deadline. And ironically, having about 20 less wins than you would have seen from a Bobby Cox team in its prime. You just talked about the last time we had those, 100-win mark. So this is a year that you say, wow, the arms race in the East got real. The Mets actually had some clutch pieces. Scherzer was huge. DeGrom, once he got healthy. But this was one where you just were more clutch. It doesn't matter how you start. I think we all know this. It's how you finish. I mean, these guys, the Mets had, we had 100 games. Woohoo! Okay. Yep. Well, I said, I think Lugo was popping off on social media. He did an interview in somewhere in New York. And I was like on Twitter, hey, enjoy this scenic route to the NLCS. Because apparently he wants a return ticket to Atlanta. All right, we can oblige you. But, I mean, they've got obviously a much tougher road to hoe. We're going to go. And, again, Grant made the argument about the Cardinals, how good they are. Phillies, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Let's just enjoy what we did. Last night was stressful. I think the stress, Carl, I don't remember a shot of the dugout with more stress on those guys' faces until you go back to the NLCS last year against the Dodgers Astros in the World Series.
Well, you know what? I think, and I want to bring up something because we talk a lot about this, about these past Braves teams and how good some of them were. And that listen, we didn't win 12 World Series, okay? But last night, I think, was a microcosm, Mike, of they put so much energy into winning that Mets series that it was almost like it was second nature that they were going to win this, win a game down there.
Right.
And then you realize you're in a game. It's the eighth inning. You're only up a run. So I think you saw a little bit of that playing out last night. But we get the dub. I don't care how it happened. We talked about Jake Odorizzi, and he gave us a really good start. Today, as we said, I don't really care what happens. I'm just being honest with you guys. Today is just finish the season. Don't get anybody hurt. And we'll keep it moving because we get some time off. But The 95 Braves had the best record in the National League, okay? 90 wins. That was the year, okay? It wasn't 100, but it was 90 wins. They beat the Indians in six. And understand where I'm going here, Braves country. We won 14 division titles. They had the best record seven times of those 14 years of winning the division title, okay? They lost the World Series twice. And my point is, just because we're back here is not a given that because we won 100 games that we're just going to slide into the World Series. History has shown us with this team and this franchise, even in the years they won 100-plus games, Mike, three times you lost in the NLCS.
Yeah. I mean, you get back in the early 2000s, I used to say it all the time, you got every Cy Young Award winner, you've got every lineup known to man from Crime Dog to Gary Sheffield, and you only won one World Series. So, to me, I'll say it again for guys who missed it earlier in the show. I thought Snicker was a placeholder. I thought it was just a very unimaginative hire because he was a lifer with the Braves. And again, if you are still hating on Snicker, I don't know what planet you are on. He pushes the right buttons. He has the same rapport and creates the same vibe in that clubhouse and knows how to handle his guys the way Bobby Cox did, all the while being a better in-game manager than Bobby Cox was. It's a combination of analytics and using his gut, the way he rotated Rosario and Soler, you and I talked about, how to use the outfield pieces last year with Jock Peterson, etc., having to deal with the injuries, losing Acuna, having to deal with the bullpen last year when Will Smith was making you pull your hair out.
Yep.
And he stays the course. Yeah, sometimes he's a little stubborn, but I mean, if you're still banging on Snicker, I don't get it. And I'll tell you what, Buck Showalter's resume, same old, same old. Enjoy that long ride in the playoffs.
Yeah, I have had a newfound respect for Brian Snicker probably about year three. First year, you got to go back and remember all these young guys that were on this team, and everybody said, oh, he's just here to cultivate the young guys. No, he's here to win. He's here to make the right decisions. And I think about year three, I said, man, he's doing a really good job. And then obviously you win another division. We win a World Series. And now I just don't think there's any doubts. I trust Snicker wholeheartedly. Right. Like, I'm fine. Even the decision, I'm at home and you're watching games, I'm going, come on, Snit. It ends up working out. I'm like, okay, he was right again. So with the winning that he has done over the last five seasons, there should never be a debate about where his role is and you know, his legacy with this team as far as where he ranks. Bobby Cox was special. But I got to tell you, this Brian Snicker is doing a hell of a job. And last night, he was so happy to win another one.
Oh, my God. This was like one of our typical just grind them out games, too. I mean, you know, guys in the bullpen, boy. I'm so happy we can do this so I can give all these guys some time off.
Yeah, I mean, you did this, in essence, without Ozzy. You did it without Luke Jackson. Don't laugh. Luke was a big part of what we did last year. Adam Duvall, gone. You did it without Mike Soroka. We didn't know if he was going to be able to come back or not. The point is, some of these pieces that you felt like were going to be there and he would be able to count on, they weren't there. And then you had Acuna, Mike, recovering from this knee where he looked great and then he didn't look great and then I don't feel great and then he looks great. I think just all of those things play into this was a monumental run for the Braves. Snicker also talked about his with Alex Anthopoulos, who you'll hear coming up here in about 10 minutes, and that Double A, you know, he continues to make the right moves.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, my God. This was like one of our typical just grind them out games, too. I mean, you know, guys in the bullpen, boy. I'm so happy we can do this so I can give all these guys some time off.
The Braves finish out the regular season in Miami, where it's currently tied at 3 apiece through 5 innings. Jackson Stevens got the start today for the Braves. He pitched 3 innings, giving up 5 hits and the 3 earned runs. The Falcons will be without their top 2 running backs in Tampa on Sunday, as Cordarrelle Patterson went on injured reserve earlier this week after having a minor procedure. However, head coach Arthur Smith announced today that cornerback Isaiah Oliver is back at practice, working his way off injured reserve in roughly 3 weeks. Keeping you up to date on Atlanta sports when it happens, I'm Caleb Johnson from the Kia Studios on your home of Sunday's Falcons versus Bucks game, kickoff at 1, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hello.
It's Dukes and Bell.
Get your mind tuned in. Let's go be world champions.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The most important story of the day. Brought to you by MaximumCashHomeBuyers.com. Fair cash offers for as-is homes. Don't waste your time with repairs. Call 678-902-2000.
Alex Anthopoulos joins us, Braves general manager, the best GM in baseball.
Here, here.
But I was talking about Dansby last night, Alex, saying, you know, you got to appreciate how well this team played from June 1st on. And 78-33, it is kind of miraculous. And, I heard Dansby talking about it. I heard various guys in that clubhouse talking about it. What do you think it was? What if you were to say, hey, this is the reason why we won, you know, we went 78-33 and we're able to win this division again. What do you think it was?
I mean, I agree that, you know, when you hear it, you're like, whoa, you know, that's a lot. A game's over 500, and it didn't feel like it. And I don't want to speak for him, but my view of it, from what he's saying, is, you know, we didn't steamroll teams. We weren't rolling off wins, winning 12-1 and 10-2. And, you know, we were winning a lot of games, but we had a lot of close games. And I think to win close games, you have to play well in all facets, offense, defense, pitching, all of it, right? You have to do the right things, do the little things, come through, move guys over, all that kind of stuff. And because it didn't, you know, I remember talking to Smith multiple times when we had a winning streak. I'm like, man, it doesn't feel like we're winning as many games in a row because there's a lot of close games. And I think he's right. I mean, you look at the number of wins, they're impressive, no doubt. But it never felt like we were just crushing teams left, right, and center. So that being said, I'm happy we were able to pour Hey Man all over each other last night.
Hey!
And enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad we won the division. What a relief.
That would be some great product placement right there. We get that in a clubhouse. It is Alex Anthopoulos with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. We said last segment that there's just no metric for clutch. I know we have every different acronym is used for baseball, measuring everything, but these guys just seem to be so clutch. And the move, and I know we've asked you about this before, last year it was more through free making trades at the trade deadline. This year was coming from within the organization. And did you know that Michael Harris was going to be this good?
Absolutely not. We would have signed him way earlier if we did. So we knew he was talented, and we knew he was going to, you know, have the potential to do great things. But, you know, what he did, you know, the defense we felt good about. We didn't know offensively what we were going to get. We knew long-term we were very high on him, and, you know, he was not a guy we would consider trading, and we expected to be part of our core going forward. But to be this good, this fast, and like you said, you don't talk about how many times late in the game, big moment, big knock. I mean, now getting to know him a little bit, I'm not surprised because he didn't have a pulse. He just doesn't get rattled, doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. The moment does not scare him or face him at all, which I think really serves him well.
Yeah, it's funny. Last night, Grissom's being interviewed, and Grissom takes the microphone, and he turns to Money Mike, and he's like, "How's this feel?" And Money Mike goes, "You feel it." So it was pretty funny because you're right. He doesn't get rattled. All right, from one rookie to another, Spencer Strider. First, an update because we're all curious with this week now that we're going to get. What's it look like for him in the postseason? And then just talk about what you saw in spring training that allowed him to make this team and then do what he did this year.
Yeah, so he is doing much better. He's going to throw to 90 feet here. And then if, assuming he continues to pass that test, then he'll progress to a bullpen. And, you know, he feels optimistic, and our medical staff does too. He's supposed to pass some of these tests to make sure he doesn't feel anything, but that he could be ready to pitch at some point during the DS. So the good news is it's a long ways away, and we've got time, and we'll know that much more before we have to submit the roster. So, you know, these next 4 days are going to be huge for him and for us to make a decision. But, you know, we're optimistic in terms of spring training. Like, we were always very high on him. He rolled through the minor leagues last year. I mean, we called him up at the end of the season, the last 3 days, because we thought there was a chance he could help us in the postseason. And, you know, we believed in him that much that even for our run last year, we thought out of the bullpen, maybe this guy can be a help. And ultimately, we decided not to do it in terms of adding him to the roster. But we did give him a look at the big league level. So I think the biggest improvement for him was his slider was very inconsistent last year. And now it's become a plus pitch consistently. And he's even tightened up his command and everything else. So he looked good in spring training. And he really, you know, that was the difference last year. He was the fastball and the slider was hit and miss. Now the slider's there. And obviously the command and what he's done has been outstanding. And, you know, him along with so many other guys, I mean, it really, I mean, we won this thing by a game, or depending on what happens today, I guess it might be two. But, you know, you don't get it done with all these guys doing great things.
It is Alex Anthopoulos, the GM, 5 division titles in a row here with us on Dukes and Bell. We didn't get a chance to talk to you since the Charlie Morton decision to bring him back was picked up. He's struggled at times. He's a veteran, so just about eating innings. And why are you bringing Charlie back for next season with the option for another
year? Right. So I know on the surface you see the 4.3 ERA or whatever it is. And, you know, we had a club option on him for $20 million regardless. We also had the option to give him a qualifying offer at the end of the year. So we were going to bring him back. Doing this early, it does give us that opportunity to have a club option for the following year. And, look, I think with Charlie, if you look at when we signed him coming off the year in Tampa, the COVID year, he had an ERA over 4. Kind of similar story where his offseason was disrupted because of the pandemic and COVID, had an uneasy season and really peaked at the end. You look now, he came off the injury in the World Series. He was rehabbing all offseason. Then he had 10. Then we were locked out. We couldn't work with him directly. And he was trying to get caught up to try to be ready for the opening day roster, which we didn't expect. But he did. He made it. But he's been trying to get caught up the entire time. And if you look at his velocity and everything else, and look, he's still striking a lot of guys out. He's giving up home runs at a higher rate, but we think a lot of that, so there's a luck element there. And we think with a normal off-season, which isn't really critical for him, stuff's the same, velocity's the same. You look at his numbers with the Astros in 2018, they're very similar to where they are now, obviously minus the ERA, but the walks, the strikeouts, the innings. You know, we think he's going to bounce back and be that much better. And, you know, beyond that, what he brings to the room and the example he sets for the young guys, there's real value to that. I've seen it day in and day out, the impact he has on a Strider, on a Freed, on a Kyle Wright. I think, you know, there's players out there that can make other players around them a lot better. He certainly qualifies. And I don't know what it's worth in terms of dollars, but I definitely feel it's really important.
Alex Anthopoulos, Braves general manager, joining us. We are celebrating the Braves' 5th straight division title. And, guys, we are back in the playoffs with a chance to get back to the World Series. Can you talk about your relationship with SNIT and how it works and how you guys collaborate on things? Because Mike and I always have conversations about our teams in this town and the front offices. You guys just seem to be clicking and having things working. It's rare that I think there – I don't know if there's a disagreement, but can you tell our listeners and Braves fans what that's like?
I got to tell you, I mean, I've been doing this now. This is 11 years for me, and I don't think, you know, there may not be, you know, me and Snit may not necessarily initially agree on stuff, but we've never been tense. It's never been, like, weird. It's been smooth the entire time. And I think it's a credit to him. I think it's, you know, we both want the same things. We're pulling the same rope. And I don't think anyone's got an ego, and no one has to be right. And, you know, if either one of us feels strongly about something, we're going with them. So if he feels strongly about something, I'm going with him. If I feel strongly about something, he's going with me. And for the most part, we talk it through, and we end up getting there. So
And I also know, like, he knows I'm not going to get all these decisions right. I'm not going to – all the players we bring in, we're going to make some mistakes. And he's not going to get every move right during the season. And that's just part of the gig. That's just the way it works, and you have to realize that. But, no, he's been great. I mean, he's been great. He's been awesome to work with. And I just think the biggest thing I could – the best word I can use is trust. So just a huge amount of trust on both sides, and I think that's key to a relationship.
It's been an amazing year, as we talked about. The rookies, Vaughn Grissom was great. It seemed like he cooled off a little bit. Then Arcia kind of came on at the end. Even, you know, I mean, we talk about everybody. I mean, all parts of this lineup. I think the difference between us and the Mets was you've got 1 through 9 that can step up, where the Mets have 3 or 4 guys. What about Ozzie Albies? I mean, I know we were thinking about it. Is it is it too optimistic? We'll see him by the divisional round. Where does that work?
Yeah, I think right now, I think divisional round would be – stretch. He just hasn't been hitting or doing anything. So, you know, you're 5 days away. I just don't see it, you know? So I think hopefully if we can advance, I would think the CS will be in play.
Okay.
But obviously we got to get there. But I mean, the good news is that if we can advance at some point, he should factor for us. And obviously it'd be tremendous to get a guy like that back.
All right, Alex, we got to talk about the elephant in the room. The price, I think, continues to go up with Dansby, with the way that he's played. And I love the way that he's played. But I'm asking for Braves country, okay? This is not me. This is not personal.
Oh, it's still you.
Okay, it's me.
It's you, too.
It's me. What?
That's right.
Is this going to work out?
Don't hide behind the fence.
Okay, fine. Is this going to work out? Because you've got a lot of folks in Braves country, and I'm not saying you. I'm saying what we saw with Freddie. And we're a little nervous, Alex. So I know you don't want to talk specifics about a contract, and I'm fine with that. But give me something on Dansby.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a no-win for me whenever you get asked about players and signing them back when they're going to be free, especially great players. So, I mean, yeah, I've been through this before, obviously, and it's hard to, you know, other than stating the obvious. You know, I can go into a long monologue about how awesome he is and how important he is, and you'd be like, okay, you didn't answer the question. So, I mean, the bottom line is he's really important, and he plays a premium position, and he's important. He's important, and he's especially for me this past year, like he's always been important, but he stepped up, and I'm not even talking on the field. I'm talking even the clubhouse. He stepped up more this year than anybody would have expected, you know, and he's just taken a lot on. As you know, I think this when you guys talked about Mike Harris and Vaughn Grissom and those, you know, I'm sure a lot of people saw it. The interview they did on Bally Sports, I thought was so hilarious. But I think Vaughn nailed it when he called him the sheriff, you know, and in a good way. You know, he is just, he's a glue guy. He's really become a glue guy, and he's come into that. So you put yourself in a GM's chair, you don't want to lose a glue guy. But there's got to be a but. You know, it's not that easy, right? So, that being said, we want him, we need him, and giving you anything beyond that is impossible at this point. But you guys see it day in and day out. What he's doing, the importance he has to this team, it's huge.
Right. I used to argue with all the time that they don't let you spend the money, and now they let you spend the money, and now the money's rolling in. I mean, I'm getting your pocket, Alex, but it seems like it's a lot of folks.
Well, it's our pocket.
Yeah, it's true. We pay for the Reds' red parking, by the way. But there's a perception that now we're a top 10, we're spending top 10. So is that just the cost of doing business? And then all the things you just said about Dansby, you can't replace that.
Yeah, and look, and that's the thing. Like, our payroll's climbed. I think we were 21st or 22nd in MLB when I got here. Mm. And attendance keeps doing great. Revenue, our payroll's climbing. I think we're 8th right now, which is incredible. Are we going to get to 1 or 2 or 3? Nope. You know, do we get up beyond 8? Do we get to 7? I don't know, but we're inside the top 10. I know Terry McGurk, our chairman, has always said that was his goal, to absolutely get into the top 10. So, you know, this is the tough part about all this, is that you're always going to want more, right? And you're trying to keep as many players as you can, and obviously Dansby being one of them. And then you've got other guys. You've got Max Fried, Kyle Wright, and all these other guys, right? You want to keep all those guys. You want to keep this thing going. So the trick, which is not easy, is to balance it out, to manage it, and you're hoping you have the young guys that are coming in to backfill the Harrises and the Striders and the Grissoms and those guys that they allow you to go out and spend on some of those other guys. So that's why scouting and player development is so important. You know, you think about when all those guys were making the minimum, you know, we were able to go get Josh Donaldson and Dallas Keuchel, and we could spend on other players. You know, now it's their turn to get paid, and they're getting paid, and they fully deserve it. We need to continue to replenish and continue to get some young guys to backfill. And, yeah, we're going to try to, you know, we're being as aggressive as we can in signing guys long term because we want to try to keep this group together. But there is going to be a limit, right? We're not going to be the first highest payroll in the sec. So there's limits to everything, and I'm never going to complain about it. It is what it is, and I'm elated. We're top 10, which is great. That's enough to put a winning team on the field for sure, and trying to make it all fit. So,
Alex Anthopoulos with us here on Dukes and Bell, the architect. I think he's the best general manager in baseball right now. And
how could you argue with it, right?
It is, man. The moves he's made, and we're competitive every year. That's all I can ask. And this team, I'm not going to say we exceeded expectations, but from where we were to where we are now, pretty damn impressive. All right, man, coming up, we're going to get you caught up on all the news of the day. Also, we'll go behind enemy lines at 6:20. We're going to talk with Greg Allman. He writes for The Athletic and covers the Tampa Bay Bucks, guys. Falcons Bucks Sunday. Our coverage begins at 11 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Dukes and Bell.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.